Lisa, thank you so much for that kind and also very short introduction. It's a distinct honor to represent the great class of 1959 here at our 50th. 50th? Oh my goodness. And I thank you, classmates, for giving me this particular privilege. I, of course, was thrilled, Bill, when you asked if I would act as a spokesperson, and I immediately said yes. Then, foolishly, perhaps, I asked Bill why I was the class's first choice. He hesitated. Joe, he said, we all were on the campus when Sputnik was launched in October of 1957. And just as we returned to DePauw in the fall of 58 for our senior year, the Space Act was signed into law by President Eisenhower. We definitely wanted to go with the space theme, but to be truthful, Neil Armstrong was our first choice. But he had a conflict. Bill, I know Neil Armstrong very well, and I'm doubtful about his conflict. They do not have a Saturday morning bowling league in Cincinnati, Ohio. And Neil is not a bowler. Nonetheless, I gladly serve as the speaker, as I did for our 25th reunion 25 years ago. And I pointed that out to Bill, and he said, correct, Joe, and we're going to keep asking you every 25 years until you get it right. 751 of us arrived in Greencastle and onto the DePauw campus in the springtime of our lives, now 54 years ago. We return now in the autumn of our lives to celebrate our graduation from DePauw, again 50 years ago. Now, speaking for myself, and I would imagine for many of you, if not all of you, I am totally enjoying these few days of reconnecting. But all the while, I hear this little boy's voice in the back of my head whispering, 50 years, good grief. What in the world has happened and where has the time gone? It's remarkable. As DePauw students, many of us had the fun of taking the terrific course entitled Living Language, taught by beloved Professor Jerome Hickson. From that class, we know that reunion derives from a Latin root, meaning a great coming together to see who is falling apart. But our reunion is much more than that, and let me try to explain. Most of us were born in the year 1937. Correct, we are on the average about 72 years old, or 26,000 days, or 38 million minutes, or, well, you get the idea. At my last birthday party, my 8-year-old granddaughter asked me how old I was. I said, Taylor, I'm 72 years old, very old indeed. And she patted my hand and said, Grandpa, don't be sad. 72 is not that old, especially if you're a tree or a tortoise. I felt better immediately. Andy, I so enjoyed your remarks, and remember the times you described as though it were only yesterday also. But I suspect that you and your terrific classmates think of yourselves as early middle-aged, and probably think of us as seriously older. Well, I have some news. It's quite the contrary. We think of ourselves as middle-aged, and of you as unseasoned youth. And being middle-aged, we're halfway through our lives and have many things ahead left to conquer. Now, I will admit that all of us would be more bullish on this conviction if we had a number of friends who were 150 years old. When we arrived in this world, our parents, now called the greatest generation, had struggled but survived and were diligently climbing out of the Great Depression. In the late 1930s, a house cost about $4,000 and a new car about $700 for those who could afford such luxuries. And our parents at that time also were nervously following events in Europe involving Germany, France, England, the Soviet Union, and Poland. But not to worry, because our national leaders had proclaimed that we would remain neutral as war tensions built in Europe. Interestingly, in 1939, Enrico Fermi split the atom, and soon after, Albert Einstein prepared a letter to President Roosevelt explaining that if atoms are split in chain reactions, weapons of mass destruction could be built. Now, Einstein himself did not coin the term WMD, weapons of mass destruction. That term, sadly, was coined by naive national leaders in recent times. We, of course, were oblivious to all of this, and we became known as the Silent Generation. In looking back, we had a lot to be silent about. They were terrific times in which we grew up. We graduated from DePauw 50 years ago, and although at DePauw 50 years ago we were still studying vacuum tubes and simple circuit designs in physics classes, the microchip, which is the forerunner of the microprocessor and the heart of all of today's electronics, was being invented in that very year. And even more remarkable, pantyhose were introduced. In January of 1959, Alaska became a state, and it turned out to be very handy because we can see Russia from Alaska. And interestingly, just after our graduation, Hawaii became a state, rounding out the complete set of 50, a number that has held steady for 50 years. Yes, I'm aware. Recently, Texas politicians are now threatening to secede, but it's too much to hope for. And also, no worries, because our President Obama is already interviewing Cuba as a possible replacement. Finally, and most important, 4 years after our graduation, Brian Casey was born. What's that all about? Thus, I have the additional honor of introducing you, Brian, to this extraordinary class. And we are so happy that you're here at DePauw. And never mind your youth, the passing years will cure that. And please keep in mind that we have given you pretty much a near-perfect university. And we expect a robust growth of DePauw's intellectual life and a significant increase in our national profile under your thoughtful leadership. You have enormous potential to accomplish just that. And as we've spoken, there is no heavier burden than a high potential. Also in 1959, Ford's Edsel was officially declared a flop. But our graduating class was officially recognized as an extraordinary class, not just by us, but by our professors as well as our proud yet totally unbiased parents. And as is often the case, our professors and parents were totally correct. But we're not here to brag about our collective potential 50 years ago. Rather, we're here to celebrate the uncommon success of our class members over the course of these last 50 years. And I'm being honored by my classmates as being assigned their speaker this morning, an assignment given to me perhaps because for 20 years I had the world's best job title. And for 3 weeks of those 20 years as an astronaut, I also had the world's best job in this world and the best job out of this world. But at most, I am just a footnote in the extraordinary list of accomplishments by my fellow classmates, individuals who for 50 years have succeeded in pursuing the world's best jobs. Occupations that made a difference every day and made this world a much better place for their community and for their families. I'm speaking particularly about my classmates who are health caregivers, teachers, ministers, artists, community volunteers, charity organizers, and authors. In reading through all the resumes of the class of 1959, updated from their blank resumes 50 years ago, I'm awed by my classmates' accomplishments, and I'm proud in the extreme to be a member of this extraordinary class. Several decades ago, Mark Twain wrote, "Many years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things you did not do than by the ones you did do. So throw off the bow lines, sail away from the safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, discover." Had Twain been alive today, he would have simply written, "Live like the DePauw class of 1959. Over the last 10 years, my wife Bonnie and I have lived in Washington, D.C., referred to sometimes as Camp Run Amuck on the Potomac. And my business has taken me often to New York City and to Wall Street. In sharp contrast to our upbringing and DePauw education, I found myself in the company of powerful individuals who epitomized living by the mantra, drink, swear, steal, and lie. Four golden words that I live by. Being well versed in the English language, we DePauw graduates know exactly what those words mean. And several of our national leaders and a distressingly large number of those in the financial world have severely weakened our nation by living exactly the meaning of those words. But we, DePauw graduates, DePauw alumni all, have the advantage of a DePauw ethic and a DePauw education. And here's how we've used those words. Drink. Every day, drink deep from the cup of life, for you never know how many days you will have. Learn every day as though you will live forever. But enjoy every day as though you will die tomorrow. Swear. Every day swear to do your very best for yourself, your family, and for your community. They are the ones that matter. Steal. Every day steal just a few moments to do something special for someone less fortunate than you, for the world is filled with the less fortunate. And finally, when you lie down at the end of every day, take just a minute to give thanks for the blessings that have been yours, including your DePauw education. However old-fashioned it may have been by today's educational standards, this education enabled us to be reliable and successful leaders in a world always in transition and often in chaos. And we, the class of 59, can assure you that a DePauw education endures for at least five decades and can take you on grand adventures spiritual, intellectual, and sometimes physical, across vast distances. A DePauw education travels very well indeed. Thank you, DePauw University. Here's to you, class of 1959, and here's to you, old DePauw.